If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 33, verse 12, a word for America at the most critical time in our nation's history. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, the absolute critical moments that our country is in right now. Lord, in these moments, Lord, heading into the last days, Lord, we've got to be closer to you than ever before. I pray you just show us, Lord, how much we need to be making that decision to follow you in the division. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Last year, 2024, Taylor Swift was the most popular person in the entire United States and practically the entire world. Her Eras Tour was the biggest grossing concert tour by any singer or group in the history of the world. More people on planet Earth had seen Taylor Swift than any other person who had ever lived. Everybody from the Taylor Tots to the Swifty Moms were singing her songs. It was Taylor Swift's world. The rest of us were just living it. 2024, America was Taylor Nation. But then last May the 26th, at the American Music Awards at the Fountain Blue Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, even though Taylor Swift had been nominated for six different awards for her latest CD, Tortured Poets Department, and had already won those awards buku times before, Taylor Swift won absolutely nothing. She was totally shut out. In fact, she didn't even go to the ceremony. And you know why? Because she realized something about this country had really, really changed. And why was that? Because the election of President Donald Trump last November the 5th caused the biggest political and cultural and spiritual shift in the history of this nation. And the question is America going to go along with it? Where is America right now? 9 months after the election and after the smoke is all cleared. Where is the United States of America, 4th of July weekend, 2025? Because the text we have in front of us this morning tells us right now we are at the absolute most critical moment in the history of this country. Amen. Three absolutely critical moments that are going to determine what's going to happen to America in the future and how God is going to use this day, nation in the last days to come. And let's look and see what those three critical moments are. The first thing we see from this text, the first critical moment America's in right now is a moment of provision. And that's exactly what we see in verse 12. God is blessing America because America is still being provided for by God. Amen. When the ambulance lights up in America and the siren starts blaring, everybody does everything they possibly can to get out of the way so the ambulance can get to the hospital as fast as possible. Amen. But when the ambulance lights up in India with the sirens blaring, nobody tries to get out of the way at all. Because the idea is, if you're dying, tough toenails. 24,211 people die every single day in India in ambulances stuck in traffic because there is no concept of getting out of the way to let the person get to the hospital because there's no value placed on human life. And that's not something that comes from in here. That's something that has to come from somebody up there. God provides. God provides for this country. God's provided America the gift of freedom. Because even though the left doesn't want you to know it, America was not founded by ACLU attorneys or Students for Justice in Palestine. 55 of the 57 signers of the Declaration of Independence were born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, church-going Christians. Amen. Half of all the signers of the Declaration of Independence were ordained pastors. And even the few founding fathers who weren't exactly born-again Christians, even they had a biblical worldview and believed that there was a God who created all things. Amen. And because 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Our founding fathers knew that freedom comes from God. Amen. So Thomas Jefferson said, the same God who gave us life gave us liberty. And all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So rights and freedoms don't come from government. Rights and freedoms come from God. And because rights and freedoms don't come from government, our rights and freedoms cannot be taken away by government. Amen. So the purpose of government, for all of you who had a bad public school education when it comes to civics, the purpose of government is not to give us rights and freedoms. The purpose of government is to protect the rights and freedoms that God has already given us. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Back in 2023, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker gave all gun owners in Illinois till January 1st, 2024 to register their AR-15s with the Illinois State Police. And of course, less than 1% of them ever did. And why? Because everybody knows registration is just one step away from confiscation. Governor J.B. Pritzker did not give you your right to bear arms. And because of that, Governor J.B. Pritzker does not have the authority to regulate that right or to take that right away. So there, And I know somebody's hearing this saying, well, Kevin, you're talking about freedom coming from God. There's 4,543 words in the U.S. Constitution. Not one of them is God. God has not mentioned the Constitution or Jesus or the Bible or Christianity. My question is, so what? The United States Constitution is just the operator's manual for how this country is supposed to run. It's the Declaration of Independence that talks about God and Jesus and Christianity. Because it's the Declaration of Independence that tells us why this country even exists to start with. And that's for the glory of Jesus Christ. Patrick Henry said this. It cannot be emphasized too strongly that America was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't call me. Don't write me. America was founded as a Christian nation on God, by God, and for God. My country really tis of thee. God's provided for this country in all kinds of ways. Forbes magazine says just under the Rocky Mountains, America has more oil than any other nation on the face of the earth. The top five air forces of all the countries of the world. Number one, the United States Air Force. Number two, the Air Force of the United States Navy. Number three, the Russian Air Force. Number four, the Air Force of the United States Army. Number five, the Air Force of the United States Marine Corps. The top five air forces in the world, America's got four of them. God provides. July 13, 2024. Butler, Pennsylvania. 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks came 2 millimeters away from blowing half of Donald Trump's head off in an assassination attempt.
New footage has emerged revealing just how close Donald Trump came to death when he was shot at his Pennsylvania rally on July 13th. A computer-generated 3D visualization made by social media account Point Consciousness shows a bird's eye view of the bullet skimming Donald Trump's ear right after the former president moved his head.
Thank God. Thank God he provides. May of 2024, 149,211 illegal aliens crossed the southern border into the United States. Do you know how many illegal aliens crossed the southern border into the United States May of 2025 this year? That would be zero. Because the southern border today is as bare as the dark side of the moon. God provides. Folks, I have been to foreign countries. And all the while I'm in foreign countries, all I want to do is get back home here to America. In Europe, there's no ice and no air conditioning. In South America, the plumbing is screwed up so bad, you can't flush your toilet paper. So you got to put your used toilet paper in a basket next to the toilet and then carry it outside. It's worse than an outhouse. In South Korea, the number one selling breakfast cereal is green onion flavored Chex. That'll wake you up in the morning. Right now, the hottest thing at KFC in China is deep fried chicken feet. Folks, every time I go to a foreign country, I get back to America, I get down on my hands and my knees, and I kiss the ground I'm standing on. Amen. Praise God. God really has shed his grace on America. But of course, there are all kinds of people in this country who hate this country. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said, "Don't talk about make America great again, because America's never been great." Seriously? 2 weeks ago on The View, Whoopi Goldberg, said, don't be talking about Iran and human rights abuses, because America treats black people even worse than Iran treats women. Don't lose too many brain cells when you watch this clip.
Yeah, I think it's very different to live in the United States in 2025 than it is to live in Iran.
Not if you're black.
Not for everybody.
Not if you're black.
The mullahs in Iran hang women for accidentally showing their hair or some of their skin or for taking a drink or for fighting and arguing with their husbands. There's a reason why they call that woman Whoopi. Recent broadcast on the WNBA.
So they disagree with you.
They do.
And I disagree with them. And that's fine. That's what makes America great, right, Pat Moore? I should rephrase that.
Yes.
But yeah, I did think...
Your opinion are perfectly...
Yes, fine. That's a better way to say it. Sorry about that.
One announcer says, that's what makes America great. And then there's this long, awkward pause before the other announcer finally says, yeah, there's probably a better way of saying that. Sure. Folks, the left has hijacked and vilified that phrase so much. Today you've got to apologize to say that America's great. Well, I'm not apologizing for anything. You can call me Christian nationalist. You can call me white supremacist. You can call me xenophobic. America is the greatest, richest, freest, most powerful, most Christian nation in the history of the whole wide world, bar none. And I don't care who hears it. God made us great by even providing that. Since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the crazy mullahs of Iran have been the number one sponsor of terrorism all over the world. 47,000 terrorist attacks in just the last 20 years. Constantly threatened to build nuclear weapons to blow Israel off the face of the earth. And all those IEDs that killed and wounded all those American soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan and blew their arms and legs off, brought to you by the demonic Islamic Republic of Iran. And what's absolutely maddening is we never had a president before who ever did anything about it. Bill Clinton did absolutely nothing against Iran. President George W. Bush, all he did was tell us that the mullahs worship the exact same God that we Christians do. Talk about heresy. President Barack Obama hated Israel so much, he flat out gave Iran $1.7 billion. Just gave it to them. And they used that money to start building underground nuclear missile factories to use them to build missiles eventually against Israel and the United States. Joe Biden unfroze $16 billion worth of Iranian funds in a South Korean bank account for a 1% cut for the Biden crime family. And they just took that money and used it to nuke up even more. So by the end of last month, Iran had enough enriched uranium to build 15 nuclear missiles. Folks, somebody had to do the world a favor and stop the crazy. But the problem was the Iranians built their nuclear missiles and their factories in the mountains, 200 feet below the surface of the ground. And the only thing that could destroy something 200 feet below the surface of the ground are 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs that can hit, burrow through 200 feet of dirt or rock or steel-reinforced concrete, and then explode. And what do you know? The only country in the entire world that has them is the United States of America. And there's only one plane in the entire world that can carry bunker buster bombs, and that's the B-2 stealth bomber. And what do you know? The only country in the entire world that has that kind of plane is the United States of America. Does God provide or what? And the B-2 stealth bomber is an absolute killing machine. A $2 billion monster that is so big, just one of the wings is half the size of a football field. But even though it's massive to carry the weight of the bombs, it's also made out of carbon graphite, so it's lightweight, so it can fly incredibly long distances, 6,500 miles without refueling. And with refueling, it can be anywhere on the planet in just several hours. And with the engines on the inside, it can fly quieter, like a whisper, so the enemy never hears it coming. Silent, but deadly. And those planes are totally black. No letters or numbers or signs that could reflect any light. And pilots don't wear any reflective suits. And the windows of the planes are black with hardly any lights in the cockpit. And before every mission, each plane is repainted with a top secret coating that makes it totally invisible to every radar system in the entire world. and with the laser-guided bombing system, there is no enemy on planet Earth that can detect it, escape it, or survive it. So killer silent, you don't know it's even around you till you're already dead. So last June the 21st, seven B-2 stealth bombers took off from Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, flew 15,000 miles, got to Iran, found the targets, the underground nuclear missile facilities at Nafans and also Natanz and also at Fordo. And from 52,000 feet up, from almost 10 miles up, each one of those seven planes dropped two bunker buster bombs right smack dab down through a ventilator shaft the size of a refrigerator door from 10 miles up. And folks, those bombs absolutely obliterated those underground nuclear missile facilities. The damage was so huge, it even started collapsing the mountains in the entire area. And folks, when you consider every single one of those bombs went exactly where it was supposed to, all of those planes got home with no damage at all, no American casualties, and that operation was finished within 36 hours. That wasn't just an act of war. That was an act of God. That was a miracle. God using this nation to destroy evil and to keep America safe. And I know there's some snowflakes listening to the sermon right now saying, well, Kevin, how can you talk about God being involved in an act of war? Psalm 144 verse 1 says God trains our hands for war and provides us with absolutely everything that we need to fight and win a battle when it's done for a righteous cause, just like that one was.
Amen.
And not only that, you know what the nickname is for the B-2 stealth bomber? The Spirit. Just like the Spirit in John chapter 3 verse 8. Nobody knows where the Spirit goes. It goes wherever it wills. You don't know where it's going and you don't know where it's coming from. Just like those planes. And not only that, on June the 21st, when those American stealth bombers were flying towards Iran, do you know what was in the night sky over the nation of Iran? A crescent moon. And a crescent moon is the symbol of what? It's the symbol of Islam. So over Muslim territory on Iran's home turf, those underground nuclear facilities that were dedicated to the glory of Allah were bombed to smithereens by Christians from America, the nation that Islam hates the most, sent by the God that they slam every single day.
Amen.
Folks, you don't think there is a God in heaven who knows how to fight and win a battle and send a message that in the end, He always wins no matter what? The B-2 stealth bomber is the most terrifying killing machine ever known to man. The only country in the entire world that has them is the United States of America, and we have 19 of them. Folks, look at that plane. And look at the damage that it can do. And tell me that there isn't a God who at this most critical moment in the history of our country that still provides every single thing that we need so we can serve Him, so we can destroy evil and keep serving His purposes until Jesus comes back. The first critical moment that America is in right now, we are in a moment of provision. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second critical moment that America's in right now. We're not only in a moment of provision, we're also in a moment of division. And that's also what we see here in verse 12. Because God blesses this country, but man is dividing it.
Amen.
Because our national motto was no longer E Pluribus Unum. Now it's just us versus them. It's red state versus blue state. It's Republican versus Democrat. It's white versus black. Because we have racial tension in this country now, the likes of which we haven't seen since the days of the Civil War. And the problem is, it's not really right versus left. The real problem, the real issue is right versus wrong. Because either we're going to do what this Bible says, or we are not going to do what this Bible says. And the reason there's no unity is because us Christians are not going to unify with evil. Kamala Harris tried that during the 2024 election. Oh, come on, all you evangelical Christians. Come on, Fox River Church. Yeah, we're murdering unborn babies, and we're queering little kids, and we're erasing the southern border. But what we agree on is a lot stronger than what we disagree on. No! So you can join hands and sing Kumbaya and talk about diversity as our strength till the cows come home. Us Christians are not thrown in with anything that goes contrary to God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Division by necessity. Because John chapter 17, verse 21 says the only time there won't be any division, the only time there's going to be real unity is when everybody is in Jesus Christ. But the problem is our country is so divided, most people don't want anything more to do with the Lord than the man in the moon. 98% of teenagers in America today, 98% have never read one verse of the Bible in their entire lives. 96% of teenagers in America today have never been to a church for any reason whatsoever, not even once in their entire lives. 96%. Actress Cynthia Erivo, who played the Wicked Witch of the West in that movie Wicked, this coming August is now going to be playing the role of Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, California. Because everybody knows that Jesus looked exactly like a black, bald, lesbian woman. You talk about an absolute mockery of Jesus Christ. And my question is, when is Cynthia Erivo ever going to play the role of the Prophet Muhammad in a movie or a play? Well, you know the answer to that. There's Taylor Swift at the MTV Video Music Awards, cheering on one of her best friends, Ice Spice, who won an award. And as Ice Spice is giving her acceptance speech and thanking God for it, this is what Taylor Swift does.
I want to thank my label, 10K Capital, for really supporting me. And of course, God. Without God, none of this would be possible.
She starts thanking God. Taylor Swift starts shaking her head no. Don't thank God because there is no God. No God, no unity. Americans, we've got to realize we do not have an unconditional covenant with God like Israel does. Psalm 105, verse 10. So we're loved in all the other nations. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. Any nation that rejects God will be cast into hell. Do we see the division in this country? And do we understand what we have to do because of it? Now, there's all kinds of good things that are happening in America. There really are. But the problem is the left sees all those good things as bad things. Over 100,000 illegal aliens have already been arrested and deported out of this country. We see that as law enforcement. The left calls it racism. Arnold Schwarzenegger was an immigrant to the United States from Austria, and he became a legal U.S. citizen back in 1983. Arnold Schwarzenegger was on The View 3 weeks ago explaining what illegal aliens need to do when they come to this country. And of course, all the witches on The View were having an absolute cow because he wasn't following the script.
But the key thing also is at the same time that we got to do things legal. That is the important thing, you know. So you got to do things legal. And those people that are doing illegal things in America and they're the foreigners, they are not smart. Because when you come to America, you're a guest. Mm-hmm. And you have to behave like a guest. And to make my bed and to do everything that is the right thing to do rather than committing a crime or being abusive or something like that. So.
And you know what? He's absolutely right. Because that's exactly what the Bible says. A stranger alien comes to a country, you worship our God, you follow the laws of our God, and you become a part of the people of God. It's called assimilation. They call it tyranny. Because of President Donald Trump's executive order banning all biological males from participating in women's sports, Will Thomas, who for the last 3 years has gone by the name Leah and who pretended to be a woman to participate in women's swimming at Penn University, is now going to have all of his wins and all of his records taken away from him, and they're going to be given to the women who really won them and who really deserved them. And from now on, no biological male will be allowed to participate in women's sports at Penn University. And why? Because just like the Bible says, women are not men and men are not women. Venus and Serena Williams, the two sisters, were two of the greatest female tennis players who ever lived. But back in 1998, a 33-year-old man named Carsten Braysh, who was the 203rd ranked men's tennis player in the world, ranked 203rd. He absolutely smoked Venus and Serena Williams in exhibition matches at the Australian Open in straight sets. They barely scored against the guy. 203rd in the world. And why? Because men are not women and women are not men. 2 weeks ago, Kash Patel, FBI director, found all kinds of documents that have been hidden by the Biden DOJ and the Biden FBI. Documents that showed how communist Chinese had created thousands and thousands of fake IDs and driver's licenses in America so they could create hundreds of thousands of fake votes for Joe Biden in the 2020 election. So former FBI Director Christopher Wray lied through his teeth to Congress when he said there was no evidence of all of any foreign influence in the 2020 election. Folks, the Biden DOJ did not hide those documents because that's their fake. They hid those documents because they're true, something that we've known for 5 years. We hold this truth to be self-evident. The 2020 election was stolen. Now, we call that a conspiracy. The left calls that conspiracy theory. But I'm running out of conspiracy theories because all my conspiracy theories keep coming true. Do we see the division in this country and what needs to be done about it? Division comes. You got to stand up and you got to speak truth. But too many Christians won't do it. Oh, I'm not talking about anything political. For the love of God, it's not political. It's spiritual. All kinds of weak-kneed, lily-livered, yellow-bellied pastors in this country who will not bring it up. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. You don't stand up for your faith. You're not going to stand at all. And you're going to lose it all. The vision comes. We not only need to speak. There's times you also need to act. Last Sunday, June the 22nd, Cross Point Community Church in Wayne, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, had just finished their 10 o'clock worship service and were starting their special vacation Bible school program. When 10 minutes into the vacation Bible school program, 31-year-old Brian Browning from Romulus, Michigan, drove up to the church in his Nissan pickup truck. He was all dressed in body armor, jumped out and started shooting at the people in the church with a Glock and an AR-15. And you know what happened? An elder in that church who saw it happen ran, jumped in his pickup truck, and ran the shooter over. Ran him down in the parking lot. And then another staff member, who's part of the security team, pulled out a handgun and finished him off. Killed him there on the ground. Do we see the division in this country and some of the decisions that need to be made? Folks, at this critical moment in the history of our nation, it's open season on you. And the devil is trying 7 ways from Sunday to take you out. Do we see what needs to be done?
Amen.
And in case anybody doesn't know, the biggest source of division in this country, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, is President Donald Trump. Because ever since he declared that he was running for president as a Republican in June of 2015, that man has been treated like the devil himself. And it's because people don't realize there is just something about Donald Trump. He was born June 14th, 1946 on Flag Day during a lunar eclipse. So he's not only born to be a sign of the world, he was also born to point people to patriotism. Flag Day, make America great again. His real name is Donald John Trump. Donald is a Scottish name that means world ruler. John means beloved by God. Trump is something that God uses to announce his big events or to announce things in the last days.
Right.
And Donald Trump's family surname is Christ. His mother's name was Elizabeth Christ Trump. His father's name was Frederick Christ Trump. So Donald John Trump, world ruler, beloved of God, called by God to do big things and announce stuff in the last days. You don't think there's something about Donald Trump? And if that's not enough, there's just something about Donald Trump and Israel and the number 7. And the number 7 in the Bible stands for God's perfection and completion. Donald Trump was born exactly 700 days before the founding of the nation of Israel on May 14, 1948. On Trump's first day in office, he was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. He was also inaugurated in the Hebrew year 5777. and beat Hillary Clinton by 77 electoral votes. Exactly 7 months into his first term, Donald Trump announced that the American embassy would be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, acknowledging that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. President Trump was elected on Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's 7th year, 7th month, and 7th day in office. On Donald Trump's first day in office, Forbes magazine ranked him the 777th richest person in the world. You can't make this stuff up, people. You don't think there's just something about Donald Trump? And Donald Trump is not God. Trump supporters don't believe he's God. We don't worship him as God. Donald Trump said this himself.
And our country needs a savior right now, and our country has a savior. And that's not me. That's somebody much higher up than me. Much higher up.
Donald Trump knows that God spared his life through 2 different assassination attempts so he can make America great again and save the free world. And I believe that's true. You saw it in the 2024 election, because you talk about the odds being against him. The greatest political comeback in the history of this country. Charged with 97 different bogus crimes. Indicted for 34 different bogus felonies. Trolls tried to invoke the 25th Amendment to claim that he was crazy. All kinds of states tried to take his name off the ballot so people couldn't vote for him. Judges tried to bankrupt him by taking all of his money and all of his businesses away. And guess what? He still won in an absolute landslide. Talk about coming back from the dead. And look at all the good things that Donald Trump has done since. There's the White House during Pride Month under Joe Biden versus the White House during Pride Month under Donald Trump.
Happy Pride Month.
See the difference? Military recruitment videos. There's a military recruitment video used by the Biden administration, and then following that is a military recruitment video used by the Trump administration. See if you can tell the difference.
A little girl raised by two moms. I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age.
We will replenish the pride of our armed forces, end the recruitment crisis.
We don't fight because we hate what's in front of us. We fight because we love what's behind us.
See the difference? And people wonder why recruitment numbers haven't been this high in the last 40 years. Donald Trump established an anti-Christian bias task force. So now Christians in America will never be persecuted or terrorized for practicing their faith ever again. People, we can go on and on. And we've got to realize Donald Trump isn't just doing things to make America great again. Donald Trump is also setting up things for the last days, rearranging the Middle East, talking about taking over Gaza, exposing the two-state solution, exposing digital currency, talking about building the third temple. I could go on and on. Love him or hate him, that man is a sign from God pointing to the end times.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's the reason why we still have late-stage Trump derangement syndrome. That's why people still hate him so much, even though they don't realize it. And they also don't realize what happens to them when they do slam it. Joy Reid trashed Donald Trump every single day and ended up getting fired by MSLSD. Taylor Swift very publicly endorsed Kamala Harris during the 2024 campaign. Remember what happened to Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl? Trump gets a standing ovation. Taylor Swift gets booed out of the stadium. Every time rocker Bruce Springsteen gives a concert now, he spends a half hour just trashing Donald Trump and the Donald Trump administration. Look what happened to him after one of those speeches. Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, do not touch the Lord's anointed. Amen. And I know somebody's saying, Kevin, how in the world can you say that about Donald Trump? The number 666 in the Bible is the number of the devil. Barack Obama was 666 months old when he left the White House. The number 777 is the number of God in perfection. The number 888 refers to Jesus Christ, the anointed one, somebody who is chosen by God for a special purpose. Gematria is the practice of assigning a number to every letter in an alphabet. So when you have a group of letters that form phrases and form words, you add up the numerical value, you get a special message. Do you know what the gematria value is? The name Jesus Christ, Iesus Christos in Greek? That would be number 888. Do you know what the gematria value is of the name Donald John Trump? That would be number 888. Donald Trump, called by God to do something very special, just like every single one of you Christians is called by God to do something very special. And I know there's somebody hearing me this morning. You say, Kevin, Donald Trump, I just don't like him. I just don't like the man. You don't have to like him.
That's right.
But you better know why he's here. And you better know what God is doing through him, or there is never going to be any healing for the division that is in this country right now.
Amen.
Second critical moment America's in right now. We're in a moment of division. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third critical moment America's in right now. We're not only in a moment of provision, we're not only in a critical moment of division, but third, we're also in a critical moment of decision. And that's also what we see here in verse 12. Because we're either going to follow the God of this Bible and be blessed, or we're going to blow off the God of this Bible and we're going to be cursed. There's people listening to the sermon right now, like millions of other people in this country. You're at a critical moment in your life. You've got to make the most important decision of all, to confess your sin to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus to come into your heart and get saved. That's the most critical decision of all.
Amen.
And the incredible thing is, folks, we're starting to see people do that in this country. People, something is going on in America right now. Since the election, November the 5th, we are seeing things happening we never imagined would ever happen. Millions and millions of Americans are buying Bibles and actually reading them on their own. Disney movies like Snow White or Tankin, while the TV ratings for shows like The Chosen and The House of David are going through the roof. Mass baptisms of people all the way from Florida to California. Philadelphia Eagles running back Saquon Barkley just became a Christian 2 weeks ago. Right now, we're seeing more people getting saved through our live stream here at Fox River than at any other time in the 5 years we've been doing it. People, something is going on. And the trillion-dollar question is, are all these good things happening? All the good things happening right now? The answer that everybody wants to know, Kevin, is the rapture still going to happen any second?
Yes.
And the start of the Great Tribulation? Or are all the good things that are happening right now a sign that God's given us a reprieve? Maybe a little bit more time. Maybe a revival. The big one that we've all been praying for right before the end. On election night, Donald Trump said that his election was going to bring about a golden age in America, with all kinds of Christians and conservatives ruling over America after him. Remember we said earlier this year, Donald Trump was like King Jehu of the northern kingdom of Israel? King Jehu destroyed the spirit of Baal and the spirit of Jezebel in the northern kingdom. And because of that, God told him that four generations of his family would sit on the throne after him. So God is asking Donald Trump right now, because Donald Trump destroyed the spirit of Baal and Donald Trump destroyed the spirit of Jezebel in the 2024 election campaign by defeating Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So God is asking Donald Trump right now, do you want to write American history for 4 years? Or do you want to write American history for four generations? He's asking America right now, do you want a golden moment with Donald Trump in office for just 4 years? Or do you want a golden age with all kinds of godly people leading this country after Donald Trump? And folks, I got to tell you, if that's what God wants. Now, Daniel chapter 11, verse 27 says the end will still come at the appointed time. But folks, there is still something that we can do. What we do matters, because what we do can change exactly when that's going to happen.
That's right.
And if that's what God wants, if God wants a golden age, if God wants to give us a reprieve, if he wants to delay the rapture for just a little bit so that this nation can become one nation under God again before Jesus comes back, I guess I'll take it.
Amen.
But if there is going to be a golden age in America, gazillions and gazillions of people in this country have got to come to Christ, and they've got to turn to the Lord and make that happen. And my question is this morning, do you see that going on? Do you see people coming to Christ by the millions? Last Saturday, June the 14th, was the No Kings protest all over America. Millions and millions of Americans showing up all over the country to say no to Jesus Christ. You're not my king. I'm my own king. I'm going to determine what's right and wrong. Because if people can determine what's right and wrong, they don't need King Jesus at all. And you see the signs that they had for the No Kings protest? All the pride flags, all the Palestinian flags, the banners that said death to America and death to Israel. Does that seem like people who are looking for a golden age? No. Founding Father John Adams said this: the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Our founding fathers knew America would never survive without Christianity. Because the only way people can govern themselves in a true republic is if they have the Holy Spirit. And it's only Christianity that gives people the Holy Spirit. And today, with everything from Katy Perry's divorce to the new Superman blizzard at Dairy Queen, do you honestly think people are even thinking about it at all? There's a woman in a Target store, ticked off, because last Pride Month, Target got rid of all their Pride merch and went all patriotic instead.
Happy Pride Month. In my Target that used to have the Pride section, it's now all USA. Yay. USA. Woo. And honestly, my dad serves in the military, and I'd love to be really proud of this nation, but it's hard to be proud of it under Donald Trump.
Yeah, God forbid you'd ever be proud of your country. And I'm sure her father risked his life in World War II so that girls could call themselves trans and wear chest binders. Does that woman seem like she's ready for a golden age?
No.
Absolutely not. Last June the 18th, radical leftists in New York City held a solidarity with Iran rally, sided with the Hamas homicidal terrorists against the Jewish people, against God's chosen people. In Times Square. And what do you know, 6 days later on June the 24th, the people of New York City nominated a Jew-hating, Muslim communist lunatic named Zohran Mamdani to be their next mayor. The guy's only been a U.S. citizen for 8 years. He hates the nation of Israel. He hates America. He's pro-Hamas terrorist. He helped start Students for Justice in Palestine. See what the Statue of Liberty is going to look like if he's mayor of New York City? Lady Liberty wearing a burqa? 24 years ago on 9/11, radical Muslims tried to destroy the city of New York. Now, 24 years later, the people of New York nominated a radical Muslim to be their next mayor. People get the government that they deserve. And do we understand what's happening with Islam in America? The replacement birth rate for any population is 2.1 children per couple. Do you know what the birth rate is for the average American couple in America today? 1.6. You know what the birth rate is for the average Muslim couple in America today? 6.2. Which means the average American couple has one child. The average Muslim couple in America has six. Which means, crunch the numbers, less than 50 years, America becomes a total Islamic republic with no freedom at all. Islam is an absolute lie straight from the pits of hell. Allah is a moon god, Muhammad is a pedophile, and Islam destroys absolutely every single thing that it touches.
Amen.
We see what's going on in our country. Do we see the decisions that need to be made? Those Americans made a decision 81 years ago. World War II, Adolf Hitler promised Germany a Third Reich that would last for 1,000 years. And by 1944, he was well on his way. Because Germany had occupied all of mainland Europe, and they were taking huge chunks of territory in Russia as they pushed to the east. And the Allies were desperately trying to find some place in western France to start a second front to push the Nazis back to Berlin and win the war. So the Nazis came up with the Allies came up with a plan called Operation Overlord, the biggest amphibious invasion in the history of the world. And ground zero was the 50-mile stretch of beach at Normandy in France, divided up into five different sections. But the problem was Hitler had built his Atlantic Wall across every beach in western France. So the waters off Omaha Beach were filled with mines and twisted railroad irons to rip the bottoms out of boats and landing crafts. The beaches were all crawling with mines and huge concrete zigzag ditches to make it harder for the Allies to make a frontal assault. And worst of all, on top of the hills overlooking the beaches were huge German gun emplacements with machine gun nests and artillery pieces. And even worse, the beach at Omaha was half a mile wide with no cover at all. The morning of June 6, 1944, the morning of D-Day, the Allied Navy started pounding the big guns on the hills, and the Allied Air Force started dropping tens of thousands of Allied soldiers behind German lines, and landing craft started taking Allied soldiers to the beaches. All the other ones were a piece of cake, but for the Americans at Omaha Beach, it was an absolute meat grinder. That's what it might have looked like. Hundreds and hundreds of those soldiers were shot to pieces when they lowered the gates of the landing craft before they could even get in the water. And the question is, why did they do it? You see them charging out of those landing crafts right into a hail of German machine gun and artillery fire, seeing other soldiers falling right in front of them, dropping right in front of them, blown to kingdom come. Why in the world did they do it? And the answer is simple, because they believed in God and they believed in their country. And because they knew if they didn't fight, Germany would destroy their country and take over the world. Amen. And they would have. So they fought, like so many other American soldiers did throughout the 249-year history of this country. And they didn't care that they had to travel 1,000 miles and fight them on a foreign field. They didn't care that the Germans' weapons were more advanced than the American weapons were. They didn't care that most of those Germans had already been fighting for 5 years and had a lot more battle experience than they did. All they knew, the United States of America was at stake, and by God, they were going to fight to save it. Amen. And because they also knew, like other American soldiers did, at Valley Forge and Verdun and Gettysburg, that freedom isn't free. And nothing about America is guaranteed. So sometimes some soldiers, usually the ones in the prime of their lives, usually the ones with the most to lose, usually the best and the brightest, would be asked to face almost certain death at places like Omaha Beach and B-17s over Berlin. And the jungles of the South Pacific. And they were. And thousands and thousands and thousands of them died. And the least that our doughy soft generation could do was remember those people who died and how they died and what they died for, so that we can fight for today what they fought for back then. Amen. And folks, how can we forget? Because high above the bluffs of the Normandy beaches is the Normandy American Cemetery. The bodies of 9,387 Americans who died during the Allied invasion. 9,387 Americans forever, 18, 19, and 20 years old. And in the middle of that cemetery, there's a chapel. And inscribed on that chapel wall are these words: "From the gates of hell, may they rise to their glorious resurrection." 101-year-old World War II veteran Frank DeVita was one of the men that day who operated one of those landing crafts that took American soldiers from the ships to the beaches at Omaha. It was Frank DeVita's job to lower the gate and to let those soldiers out right in the teeth of all that German artillery and machine gun fire. This is how Frank DeVita describes what happened to him on D-Day.
So when we got close enough to the beach, we only go about 200 yards from the beach, as close as we could get. And the machine guns opened fire on us. The bullets were bouncing off the ramp because it was metal. It was up. But I knew eventually I had to drop the ramp. And then the bullets, instead of hitting the ramp, they would come into the bull. So the coxswain says to me, "Drop the ramp." I never heard him because the roar of the cannons, two big diesel engines in the back of the boat, never heard him. And then the second time he says to me, "Drop the ramp." And I froze for a few seconds because I didn't want to die. And I knew once I dropped that ramp, I bust. And then he said to me, he says, "Peter, drop the effing ramp." So I had no choice. I dropped the ramp. The machine guns opened up fire, killed about 14, 15 troops that were in the front of the boat. Where I was, there was a crank that lowered and raised the ramp. I was about three quarters of the way back. You know anything about basketball?
Yeah.
You know what a pick is?
Yes.
Well, I had soldiers in front of me. They were my pick. They were absorbing the bullets that would come to me, you know. But I had two stragglers. They didn't want to die, so they didn't want to get the other troops are going forward. They stayed with me. They thought by staying with me, they'd be safe. Unfortunately, by staying with me, they were drawn fire from the hills. Two guys. One guy was about 4 feet away from me. The other guy was about 2 feet away from me. The first guy got hit, ripped his stomach open. His stomach's outside his stomach. Fortunately, he lived. This guy lived. And the other guy that was 2 feet away from me, he was a red-headed kid. The machine gun took his helmet off and part of his brain, a part of it. And he was crying, "Help me, help me, help me." I had no morphine. I couldn't help him. So he fell at my feet. Excuse me if I get emotional. He fell at my feet, and he was crying, "Help me, help me, help me." I had nothing in my kit to help him. So the only thing I had was the Lord's Prayer. And I started praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven." I never finished it. Then he slumped down. I knew he was going to die. And I reached down, and I squeezed his hand. I want him to know that he wasn't alone. And he died. He died. He was just a little boy. Just a little boy.
Fighting for God. Fighting for country. Fighting for freedom. Sacrificing. And paying the price. Those people made their decision. Now you've got to make yours. I talk a lot, a whole lot, about the last days and the end times, because we really are living in the last days. But folks, I got to tell you, America is not hopeless, because I still believe that there's a chance. I still believe that there's a path back to our spiritual senses, a spiritual path back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me, at this absolutely critical moment in the history of this country, if that is ever going to happen, Christians in this nation have got to stand up and they've got to start fighting.
Amen.
at this absolutely critical moment in our nation's history, the Lord is looking for Christians who are going to stand up for Him and speak the truth without any apology whatsoever and fight tooth and toenail for God and country so America can be one nation again until Jesus comes back. And I want to know how many people in this room this morning are willing to do that. How many people in this room this morning are willing to stand up and stand in the gap? How many people in this room this morning are willing to say, Kevin, we are not losing this country on my watch? How many people in this country this morning are going to say, we come against everything? Liberalism and wokeism and progressivism and communism and Marxism and socialism and Islam and Sharia law. Absolutely everything that's contrary to the Word of God and the U.S. Constitution that this country was founded on. And if it's going to be war, let it start right here.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we stand in Your presence today. 4th of July weekend, 249th anniversary, the greatest country in the face of the earth. Lord, I just pray, Lord, if this is what You're doing, if You are giving us a little bit more time, I pray, Lord, that we would be more dedicated to You than ever before, that we would see this nation, Lord, be one nation under God again, that we would see millions and millions of people saved by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, and it's only going to happen if we stand up and if we get vocal. Lord, if we've been more busy than we've ever been before, and to be about Your business and to reach out with the gospel. Lord, I pray You just take the people who are standing in this church right now as a commitment to You and use us. Use us, Lord, in these last days like never before, like we never dreamed possible. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.